All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are always thankful for each moment that you give us. Because in each moment that you give us, there is possibility and potential, and each moment might become a memory that could change our life forever. And so, Lord, we take this moment not for granted, but we ask that you would make our hearts ready for whatever it is that we need to understand and know here and now, today. And then remind us of those things and allow those things to change us from the inside out as we move forward. And so, God, quicken our ears, quicken our minds, quicken our heart this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning is the last week of this rotation where we have called it Transformation Station. In that, we have covered a lot of things, but for most of us, it is our annual look in depth at this idea of depth and life change and transformation. And each time we do it, it's a little bit different. So let me tell you kind of where we end up. This morning, we're going to do a review. We're going to look at this model that we use. If it's a helpful model, that's great. There's some handouts going around the room that will help you explain it. We'll go as far as we can with that today. And then before you leave this morning, I'll pass these out. This looks similar to the ticket I gave you the first week, except this is the one that I will need back from you. On it, you get the opportunity to check any that apply, all that apply, and if none apply, don't bother filling it out. Just pass them on. But if you give it back to me, you can make a request on this, and I will send you PDF files for you to use. I don't need them back. It's entirely up to you what you do with them. But if you would like to take the annual spiritual gifts test and take a look at that and see how your gifts are hanging in there, whether you're up, you're down, how different it is, I will send you that. The depth test that we'll talk about in a minute, where you can kind of take an evaluation and see which of these areas of your life are stronger and weaker and which ones you want to set goals on improving, I will send you that, as well as the evaluation tools that you need to figure that out. And then there's a space for additional resources and helps. Basically, it is handouts, studies, supplemental materials for any of those areas that you might be thinking that you want to do some follow-up in. All I need is your email address to do that, and I'll do that. If you do not access email, or you don't print from email, or you don't live in the world of PDF or electronic communication, and you want a hard copy, fill this out. Let me know. I need a hard copy of it. All of them go back in the giving box before you leave. Don't hand them to me. Put them in the giving box on the way out the door. And then this week, at some point, by Friday, you'll have all those things you requested. I'd say by Wednesday, but that's ambitious. So by Friday, I'll get you all that stuff. I'll pass those out at the end. So somebody don't let me forget that. We started this four-week rotation, again, going where we always go, John 10:10, which is the basis for, or at least a jump-off point for this conversation, this teaching segment. Now, again, we've been a lot of other places, but somebody read John 10:10 for us.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
And we've talked about this before, and so you guys know this stuff, but the word for life there that Jesus uses is a very distinct word. It is Zoe. It means that God breathed life. There were other choices that he could have made, but he didn't make those. Those show up in other passages of Scripture. But Jesus said, I come that they might have the God-breathed existence, the God-breathed life that I have for them. In other words, he is saying that there is a life that he has created, designed exclusively for you, that he has breathed into, and it is spiritual, and it is holy, and it is the destiny that you were made for. That's huge, by the way, because there's so many folks that live in the world today that are struggling about, I don't know my purpose, I don't know my plan, and you have one. You have one, and it is waiting for you to discover. The reason that we don't tend to know what they are is because we don't really work real hard at discovering it. We work around the edges of it. You know, we have good intentions of discovering it, but we never get there. And, of course, we have a formula we use here. We went over that. Direction, not intention, gets you to your destination. In other words, to be this person that God created you to be, to live the life, the abundant life that Jesus came to give you, that doesn't happen by accident, and it doesn't happen by stumbling over it. It happens because you actually change the course, the direction of your life to get there. Direction, not intention, gets you to this next level of living, which is why when we start talking about the areas of your life, and there's six different components to a kingdom person, if you will, all of these are important. You neglect one, the others suffer. And we'll go through as many as we can. But that's very much on purpose. You have to decide to do that. We all agree that it is important, and we want it to be important. But when it comes to actually, what are you going to do about that? How are you going to grow deeper? That's where we kind of stumble sometimes. It's discipline. We talked about embracing the grind. And it is something that you do because you are trying to change, and you're trying to grow, and you're trying to add depth in a world that is changing. So your world is changing all the time. You're supposed to be changing along with it, and you do. And most people do, but they don't always do it in spiritual areas. Well, in the spiritual realm, you're supposed to be getting deeper. And so we talked about evidence of transformation, your character and your calling. We talked about your character, and we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits of the Spirit, but fruit of the Spirit. And we looked at that passage, and we kind of explained how each of those things speak volumes of your character. And with God working in you, those things become stronger all the time. But then we also said that you have to add to that. And again, this is where most people don't. This is where the break comes for a lot of people. They neglect the calling part. And the calling part is the gift or gifts of the Spirit that you possess. You can be a great person. You can be a good person. We looked at it this way. On a scale of 1 to 10, you might be a 10 when it comes to character. But if you're not using your spiritual giftedness, you take your character and you multiply it by how well you're doing your calling. And let's say you're only doing a 2. And so that 10 times 2, that's a 20. That doesn't get you on the grading scale. I mean, and you say, well, that's a harsh grading scale. I'm just saying, it's just a tool. You can think about it. But for most folks, using their spiritual gifts is something that they haven't put a lot of emphasis on. However, the Bible does. And the Bible teaches us that for every one of us who is a follower, we are given gifts that are be used for building up the body of Christ. So in other words, who you are and how He has gifted you is so that all of us can be better together. And if you're not doing your part, then two things are happening. One, you're not living the life that you were created to live, because you've convinced yourself that life is about you. And that is the most non-spiritual thought that you could ever have. But as you're living that out, everything else now begins to sink. Everything else up here that we've talked about begins to tank. If you're deciding that you're going to embrace your gifts, then you start living the dream. And we've talked about dreams before. We talked about dreams within dreams. You're here because God had a dream about what you could become and what you could be. So we talk about living the dream. And I said that we exist because we're a part of God's dream for mankind. There's a dream for our life that is a God thing. And I know dreams are big concepts, and there are some big dreamers and some big visionaries. But then sometimes, you know, that's not how we operate. We're a little bit more the nuts and bolts and the nitty-gritty, and roll up our sleeves and do stuff. And we explained it, and understand that if you have a gift, understand your dream, first of all, in the concept that your dream is always going to fit within another dream. Okay? And God has this big dream for life and this big dream for who we can become and what we can do. But if you are using your gifts and you are functioning in that and flourishing in that existence of who you are called to be, realistically, for all of us as followers, that should be our dream, right? I mean, if I were to say to you, what is your dream today? And you were to say to me, well, you know, it is to be everything that I was created to be. That's a pretty cool dream, right? I want to be the God, live the God life that God created me for, and I want to live that to the fullest and to be that guy. That's a dream. And so to live, so one of the reasons that we struggle so much with living the dream, and that's a big phrase that people use now, how are you doing? I'm living the dream. No, you're not. But you know, that's what we say a lot. You are.
I said nightmares are dreams too.
Okay.
I live a dream all the time.
Living in a nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a whole Bible study I've done on that. In order to get this, these have to connect and they have to work. And so neglecting one or the other is going to always kind of get in the way here. And so a lot of times for us, this is where you know, we come back and we look and where the focus needs to be. We also then talked about last week 10 steps for setting direction, very practical. It was kind of a goal-setting kind of thing, and so we kind of went through that, and we looked at that. And so that's where we have been. All of that has been available online. If you haven't heard it, you know, you can go back and listen. It's all there for you. And then when I send you these things, if you request them, they'll also, they're just very easy to follow through and understand what you're doing with them. It gives you some ways to evaluate and take inventory of where you are. And it's kind of like a checkup. And so please, by all means, don't hesitate to do that. I pass this around to you. This is just a model. When you build, when we talk about this kind of stuff, people don't always understand that we build ministry off this. Because even over this past 2 weeks, I've had three very intriguing conversations where we've come back to this idea of this model really working better than you think it does sometimes. But we build on this idea. What are we going to do? What are some basics that are going to happen for you that we can throw into the mix that will give you the opportunity to start adding depth? Well, obviously, celebration worship experiences, that's the big gathering time. It's the big meeting. It's whatever you want it to be. That's what people come to. And that's what most people think of. That's great. You've taken it to another level. You're showing up in Sunrise Bible Study. So either your clocks were wrong, you're guilty, or you're just committed to be here, and you think it's a good thing to do, and you find value in that, and that's awesome. Hopefully you do. On Wednesday evening, midweek, we have a core group opportunity where we dig and we drill down deeper into what's been going on. And some of you have been part of our anxiety study. You're so anxious now, you don't know what to do. But we've been talking and unpacking even more what that means. And then prior to core group, we actually talk about how well it works and how well it doesn't working and what God's doing in your life. And that's an opportunity that you have to hear how other people's lives are working and what they're doing. And so sometimes you talk, but sometimes you just listen, because there's value in hearing how it works in other people's lives. And you would be surprised how many people will say, yeah, that was really encouraging to me. And I'm, to hear what they said, yeah, I could relate to that. Because, see, this looks different on everybody. And there's value in all of that. That all adds depth. Then if you go to the far right of that, it says ministry moments. Ministry moments are anything and everything else that you would plug into. It could be an additional Bible study where you kind of jump into that. It's another study that you might jump into and find some value in that will continue to add depth and pour that into your world. It could be just using and exercising your gifts and a role of leadership and getting involved in something and kind of getting behind the scenes and rolling up your sleeves and going to work a little bit. Fantastic. It might be that you show up and all you're going to do is you log in your time, because, you know, this is all you have, but you're going to open up the window and you're going to say, I can be there, and I can be there all day, and I can be part of this. And so you get there and you're a part of that, and you connect to that ministry moment, and you pour your life and you use your giftedness in that. And so you're finding the ways that you can move yourself into those spiritual positions where you're doing ministry moments and you're accomplishing things. All of those, again, help you grow. They help you add depth. And all of them have great value. And you say, well, I can't do all of those. Great. Do what you can. Because anything on this list adds depth. And if it all adds depth, then what's the end result? You get deeper. And that's the point. And so add depth. And allow that to happen. Then this is the piece that we also, and we're going to spend the rest of our time today talking about. And this has to do with this model that we always use. It's a six-sided model. It's built upon the idea that this is your life. It may not look like your life, but it's your life. You just don't realize it. And the goal of this is to see how much you can put in here, how deep you can actually be. Each one of these sides is a different area of your spiritual existence. They come, they're all based on biblical models. That is what kingdom people are. These are the elements of your life that Scripture kind of allows to emerge, that all these things can be happening in your life if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. The way it works is kind of the idea, if this were an old bucket, a stave aside of a bucket with slats on it, common sense would dictate that if you were filling a bucket with water and you had one of those slats that wasn't quite as deep, when the water level hits that, right, you start to leak. And that's the way this model works. So you will be as deep as the weakest side of these things in your life. And I've used the illustration before. I mean, I know some people that have, all they do is they study the Bible. They are Bible scholars, but they've never applied the Bible to their life. So this side is really, really, I mean, this is what they do. But when it comes to being generous, they're stingy old misers. And so this one's down here. So we start adding depth, starts leaking. And so it's not going to be deep. Now, you can cheat. This is something that's emerged the past couple weeks in conversations. You can have one that's a little bit lower than another. Well, it all kind of hinges together because you can cheat every once in a while. You can tilt the bucket. Right? So I'm real strong in serving. That's my thing. So if I tilt my bucket, I'm over here. But if I'm still a stingy miser, I can hide that for a little while. But eventually your life comes back level, boom, and now you're leaking again. Doesn't matter how, so you can cheat, I got it. There's some days you can function and just cheat, and that's okay, you can cheat. If you want to cheat for Jesus, you cheat. I take no responsibility, I now have it on record. So you can play with it a little bit, but it works. And the thing about it is, in all our areas of our life, if these are all things that we're supposed to be, and they are, then you say, I don't like that. I don't like your model. Okay. Then find a better model. But let's go back to the main thing. All of these areas are areas you're supposed to be doing in life. Well, I don't like that. Now your problem's with God, not me. And you know what? I can live with that too. You just figure out another way to make it work. Because all these areas become areas that we have to deal with. Now, this paper that I gave you gives you a quick highlight of that. We'll dig in and kind of unpack this a little bit more. But if you look at one side, prayer. Prayer is one element of your life. No-brainer. If you're spiritual, you know that. You've got to pray. Okay. So a praying person is a person who's actively praying full circle. You say, well, what is that? Well, that is a person that we've used the phrase prays 360 degrees. In other words, they pray around, they pray over, they pray in, they pray out, they pray up, they pray down. I mean, in other words, you take something, and when something is going on, you learn to pray all around it. A lot of us, we just pray by saying, God, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. And our prayer list looks like a dump truck. Now, God said you can ask Him anything you want. We've talked about that. We're talking about that again today. You can. But that's not all you need to be praying about, because prayer is an invitation to a conversation with God. And we'll, if we have the time, we'll look at that a little bit more. So when we talk about praying full circle, that's what it is, you know, because sometimes you pray at things one way and all of a sudden it dawns on you, you know what? There might be another aspect of this. Maybe I ought to pray about it this way. And you kind of take a different look at it and cross your arms and say, I'm going to start praying about it this way. Yeah, you're praying that God would change a situation. He doesn't seem to be doing that. Maybe step over here. Well, God, why don't you just change me so I see the situation different? Oh, now that might be a prayer that works. What happened? Well, you're just praying different, right? Or you say, well, God, I don't understand that situation, so I don't even know how to pray about it. All right, well, let's get under it a little bit. God, help me see it better. And all of a sudden that prayer begins to come answered, and all of a sudden you begin to understand it better, and then what happens? You can pray about it differently. What's going on there? You're not giving up on this thing called prayer. But for us, we want prayer to be a checklist. If you're Southern Baptist, you grew up with offering envelopes, right? And the offering envelopes would give you the option of the what are you doing this, each week? Pray, read my Bible, worship, Sunday school, whatever. And you just check the box. Check, 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 check. You would drop them in the offering box. Somebody would record those. They would put them in a book. They would send those numbers to Nashville. Now, you thought that we were sending them to God. We did not. We didn't send it to God's accountants. That is not in the book of life, as it were, okay? And if you're a Southern Baptist, you grew up with that. What you need to know now is that although they still send those envelopes and you still check those boxes, if you want to, there is no mechanism now anymore at the Southern Baptist Convention that's even recording those. Now, they still give them to you if you want them because they know that discipline of checking the box is good for some people, and some people live to check the box. And checking the box is better than never looking at the box, I guess. But now, there's no way to record those numbers and send them to Nashville because the ACP, as they call it, which is the annual church profile, well, inside lingo there, which used to take you an hour and a half to fill out and used to be 25 pages long that had more information about all of you than you ever wanted to know that we were trying to track, now has been whittled down to pretty much a postcard. And it's filed electronically. It takes all of 6 minutes. And all that information that used to track for years, there's nobody up there looking at it anymore. The databases are gone. They don't know what it was anymore. They didn't keep it. All of those years that we thought this is good because this is holy writ, it's not. But for all of us, we've kind of approached prayer that way. I pray, I'm good. God, help me have a good day. Okay, good. Check. I'm good for the day. But Jesus says, pray without ceasing. So prayer is a bigger thing than we think it is. And so that's what we talk about when we talk about praying full circle. Worship. Worship is a person who is living a life that is fueled by worship. In other words, does worship energize you? Do you understand what worship is? You know how it works. Worship is not something you just come to. We'll worship in just a little while collectively together. That's a good time, no doubt about it. And things happen sometimes in worship that become just moments that you hold on to, and they become memories that really do spark and spur you on, and the encounters that you have and things that go on. I mean, that's cool. But that's just one part of worship. Worship is a lifestyle. And again, for a lot of us, we were brought up in environments where we didn't know that. We just didn't see our lives as an act of worship. Yet, as a kingdom person, your life has to be an act of worship. Everything you do, believe it or not, when you go to work tomorrow, it's worship. You say, what? Yes, your job is supposed to be an act of worship. Well, I hate my job. That will be a problem for you. Exactly. And so part of the quest is, how do I make what I do for a living an act of worship? How do I worship, not worship my work, but worship in my work? And see my work as an opportunity to glorify God, an act of worship. We're going around, if you have the paper, we're going around at the bottom, Bible study. You would expect me to say that, right? We talked about understanding the Word of God. But a person who is anchored in Bible study is a person who is living their life anchored to the Word of God. In other words, what is that foundational truth that you're building your life on? What are you anchoring to? The Word of God. And how do you anchor the Word of God? Well, you have to know it, you have to read it, you have to study it, and you have to do it by faith. Because you get to a moment where all of that stuff that you know, that's knowledge. Do you believe it? And then you believe it enough to put it into practice in your life. So what are you going to anchor to? The Word of God. And so knowing it and knowing it well is important. And the more you know it and the more that you anchor to it, the better the trajectory of your life becomes. And so that's kind of what we look at. Moving around the model, generous. A person who manages the resources they've been given by blessing others. Again, one of the great lies that we've all bought into in our culture is that what you have, how much money you have, your resources are yours. They're not. They're given to you by God. And they're given to you by God to manage. The question for you is, are you managing the resources well? And if you are, then what you begin to understand is that you've been blessed by what you've been given, and you've been given it to bless others. It's never been yours. You say, well, it is mine. My name's on the paycheck. That's the grace of God. I know folks that just think that paycheck makes them very valuable. It does, right up until the moment they lose their job. You say, well, you know, but yeah, but I, my job's important, and I got, you know, I got responsibility, and you know, I can't afford to back off that to serve God. You can't afford not to. Because it can disappear like that. I mean, and I know folks who have had jobs, lost jobs, had jobs, lost, and they just seem to rebound like a rubber ball. Boing, boing, boing. They're just amazing at it. I know other folks have gotten a job, and they've worked that job all of their life. And then there's other folks that will change jobs like they change underwear. I mean, it's crazy, right? That's the world we live in. But here's the deal. What's it about? Because usually what happens with us when it comes to finances is that when we go ka-ching, ka-ching, and we, you know, cash that paycheck, we instantly spend all of it and we live up to the max of it. Usually it's an afterthought how we manage it. And the tithe is God's low bar. That's the starting point. And then we go from there. Because the generosity that comes and the way that we bless others is a part of our existence, a part of our journey. And so for a lot of people, that's where they leak. Money is their God. That's what they worship. Which is a horrible thing to worship. Because it doesn't last. And you're not going to take it with you. You say, well, I'm going to leave it for somebody else. Well, good for you. Good for them. Hopefully they'll manage it well. But you know what? If they're not willing to handle it, you haven't done them any favors. One of the wealthiest men I've ever known told me out loud one day, I was going to leave all my money to my kids. But now that I'm older and wiser, it determined that's the worst thing I can do for them. And I've worked all my life to be able to do that. I said, oh, okay. He said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to set them up, but I'm going to give the rest of it away. And he proceeded to spend the last 3 years of his life giving it away, much to the chagrin of his children. And he gave away an obscene amount of money to what he called kingdom's causes. And it was an impressive thing to watch. Now, again, he didn't forget his children. He didn't neglect his children. He was trying to teach them a lesson. And one of his kids was very mad and said, Dad, that's rightfully mine. He said, well, I don't remember you earning it. But it all depends on what you worship. So if your value's in your net worth or what you have, guess what? Hurricane season reminds us that it don't last. And so, make sure you're generous like you need to be. Keep moving around. Mentoring. Living to make the transformational life transformable. Transferable. Yep, transferable. That's it. And mentoring is another thing that we don't do very well. So let me break it down to the bare level, easiest part. Who are you pouring your life into? Bless you. Now, it is cold and flu season. That room is now quarantined. All right. But you may be doing it better than you think. So let me give you a little bit of a, you know, pat on the back, thumbs up. You may be doing it better than you think. Because there may be somebody you're working next to. There may be somebody that you're dealing with on a regular basis that you are pouring your life into. Now, what I want to say to you is it intentional and is it concerning the things of God? Hopefully you're godly and hopefully you're pouring it in to them. If it's not intentional yet or it's not godly, change that a little bit and start that process. Then all of a sudden you're doing the mentoring piece. It could be on a bigger scale because God has gifted some of you to lead at levels where you really can pour your lives in at a different level. That needs to be happening. And you need to be reproducing yourself and reproducing who you are as a leader, reproducing the giftedness that God has given you and looking for folks that can kind of take that and carry that on and do something with it. You're expanding the kingdom when you do that. That's mentoring. We call it discipling. You can call it whatever you want. But find a name that you like for it, but then ask yourself the question, are you doing it? And you can start by evaluating real quick. Just answer the question and fill it out somewhere. Who am I pouring my life in today? Who am I pouring my life into? And how are they better because I'm trying to model for them and pour some godly things into them. How are they better because Jesus has been in our midst today? Because it is very true that the opposite can happen. Because while you're in a group or you're surrounded by people that you ought to be pulling up, a lot of times they just pull you down. And that's where you have to get a little bit more intentional about this. And depending on how serious you get about it, that begins to really get deeper and deeper. And that can become very motivational for you. I got to get to work today because that little group of people that I work with, even though they drive me nuts sometimes, I am pouring my life into them. And I'm trying to share some godly wisdom and truth with them. And I'm really trying and striving to make them better. And now that may emerge a relationship where all of a sudden there's something else that's gone on there. And God is really giving you an opportunity now to kind of pump them up and help make them better and get them closer to the kingdom. And they begin to try to do the same kind of thing. And then the next thing you know, you've changed your workplace. You've changed that group of people you meet with. You change that environment that you're in. You change the climate. And if the climate's changing you, then that's where you need to dig your heels in. And maybe that's the area of your life that you need to add depth to. And keep going around. Serving. Learning to serve and discovering the greatness in doing it. Jesus said it. Whoever wants to be great must become servant. There is greatness in servanthood. And the opportunities that you have for ministry, the opportunities that you view in your life for ministry, the ways that you start pouring your life into ministry settings and serving others and meeting the needs of others, that's huge. Why do you do it? Because that's what Jesus set you apart to do. How do you do it? You should do it with excellence. You should do it well. Because if this is an area, if this is a characteristic, this serving is a characteristic of a kingdom person, then this, just like every other area, deserves your best. And so let me encourage you, as you serve others and as you minister to others, do it with a sense of excellence. That's why we've used the phrase around here. We strive for perfection. We settle for excellence. Be awesome at it. Be the best at it. Jesus deserves that. You want to give him nothing less? Aim for that. And that's the model. That is what the model looks like. In each one of these areas, when you take the depth test, you can decide, you know, how well you're doing there. And actually, the way that you kind of grade yourself is this: each one is just like kind of a line graph thing. You just kind of pencil in. You know, it gives you to ask you a bunch of questions, and you know, you get to go rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, and then you kind of do it. The numbers don't get too big. It's pretty easy, and you just kind of fill in, shade in. You kind of see where your graph is. You say, well, wow, is it exact? No. It's a tool. It's a model. It's like anything else. Will it give you a sense of what you're doing? Yeah. And if you don't have anything else you're using, that's okay. Here's what you can't use. I mean, you can if you want to. I mean, I'm not going to tell you can't do it, but okay. You'll just be wrong. I don't need no stinking model. I can figure it out for myself. And I would contend, bet you can't. Because usually that's just pushback on, I don't want to do anything. I don't want an evaluation. I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't know if I'm sick. Oh, I might be sick, but if I don't go to the doctor, I won't know it, so I guess I'm just not sick. No, it just means you're a fool. So find a better model. You know, but do something. Because, again, use something to evaluate where you are, and check it out somewhere or other. Don't use this one. And if you don't use this one, that's okay. I don't get any money for that. But find something, some way to evaluate kind of where you are and kind of, so get your hands on this thing so you can understand to kind of muddle through it a little bit and wrestle with it. Now, that being said, I'll pass these around because I don't want to forget. And for the last 10 minutes, I'm going to go through all 6 sides with depth. It's not going to happen. But we will look real quickly again at the 6 sides. We'll go around and kind of do some hit and miss for a couple minutes, and then see what we can find. Let me go back to worship for a minute. As a Christ follower, okay, as someone who follows Jesus, and by the way, I'm a rather flawed disciple of Jesus, my life, all of my life, all of what I do is a response to his work, what he has done and what he is doing. I mean, and this falls in the areas of creation, how he sustains me, how he has saved me, how he blesses me. But all of my life as a disciple of Jesus is in response to what I do. How do I respond? How is my life different because of what he's done? How I respond to God is worship. Because as I worship, this is what lets the world know how valuable he is to me. And this also realigns me in my walk with God. I've been in worship environments sometimes where, the statement's been made, and I understand the statement because I know the lingo because it is my business. Let's invite God into this place to be with us. I want you to know I've been here since about 6 o'clock this morning. I didn't have to invite God in. He was already here. Okay? As people filtered in, again, prepping for the day, as the band was putting things into place, as we were making adjustments, as we were setting things up, God was here. You don't get the luxury of inviting God to be in this place. Because God is everywhere. And if you're a follower, everywhere you go, he's there. Now, I understand why we say that, because it's kind of a worship thing to say. It makes us feel good, you know. But here's the reality and the truth of your life as a kingdom person. If he is with you and he is in you, then you need to learn to see your life as an act of worship because he's always there. That means your worship should always be on. Game on. What are you doing today? I'm worshiping today. Now again, we have moments like we're going to have this morning. They're going to be big and they're going to be fun. They're going to be good. We're going to sing. We're going to study God's word. We're going to look at something. I don't even know what that is yet, but we'll make it up by the time we use it. And we're going to do that this morning, and it's going to be all part of worship. But I don't have to sit here and say, God, please show up. Well, God's here. Now, what he's going to do with you, that's your choice. But he's here. Because don't think for a minute he doesn't want to do something with you. He does. And remembering that, and being a person whose life is fueled by worship, you begin to discover that worship involves what you say, how you listen, what you do. I mean, it is every area of your life. And making the decision that you're going to live every day and make worship your lifestyle is a game changer for you. Now, we also have a side of this model where we talk about Bible study. We talk about that, and you know a lot about Bible study. But Bible study is not just reading. It is studying. It's engaging. It's digging in. It's trying to understand it at some depth, at some level. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Oh, sure you do. Sure you do. You've got an electronic device. See, we used to have to stand up here and say, well, you know, get yourself a cheap commentary. And if you can't, we'll get you one. It'll help you out a little bit. You don't have to do that anymore. You got an electronic device. You got the internet. Now, you have to be wise what you look at. I mean, let's be wise. But there's ways that you can dig a little bit. There's folks that you can listen to. And, I mean, we just have so many different tools. And part of the fun of living in this era is there are so many different tools that you can access. Part of the dangers of living in this era are there's so many tools that you can access. And if you need help with that, ask. But there's a lot of stuff that's out there where you can be better. And believe it or not, Bible study can be fun. It's just that we don't approach it as that. We think of the big words. You know, you've noticed sometimes when we come to big words or we come to phrases and stuff where there's a word out there, we just kind of, sometimes I'll say big word or we'll just kind of make fun of it a little bit, something like that. You know, I had somebody not too long ago say to me, I wish you wouldn't do that. That's being disrespectful. And I just said, you know, there's no disrespect intended. I said, do you not think that's a big word? Does that word not make you giggle when you see it? Does that word not make you laugh just a little bit? It does me. I said, do you think God doesn't like to laugh? Have you looked in the mirror? He loves to laugh. Laughter is a gift of God. That's one of the healthiest, most spiritual sounds that you can think of. Because then they followed up with, well, I don't like it when you tell jokes either. Well, I'm like, I know they're not that good, but I try my best. I mean, I'm swinging for the cheap seats every week. You know, I'm giving the best I got. I'm going to miss big time. I said, but don't let that bother you. I said, because, you know, and I said, that's why I'm also quick to point out, well, you know, it's in there for a reason. It is. But I always giggle when they say that the ancient Greeks would have said it this way. I have never met an ancient Greek. And I've been to Hebrew. I have. It helped some. You know what it helped with? Help me know that no one knows how to say the same word same way. My Hebrew professors would say the same word different ways. And I'm like, well, dude, you guys got earned doctorates. How is a guy like me ever going to get it? They would just laugh and say, you're not. Appreciate the vote of confidence. But, you know, I've proved the rest of my career that I don't get it. So, I mean, it's not disrespect. It's just enjoying and embracing what God says. Jesus used humor a lot. The Bible holds up in history. It holds up with science, although we don't always get to see it. We're going to have a series coming up. It starts Easter Sunday morning. It's going to be a series where if you're an apologetic fan and basically wanting proofs of different things and how do you, you know, kind of navigate those tough conversations, because, you know, people out there say, oh, the resurrection didn't happen or creation didn't happen or something like that. Although we do those kind of things in Sunrise Bible Study, we're going to build a series in worship called Stranger Things. And that series will kick off Easter Sunday morning. We'll be running about 5 or 6 weeks. We're going to tackle a lot of topics about, you know, is there really a heaven? Is there really a hell? What's that going to look like? What's it going to be like? I mean, you know, we're going to look at all that kind of stuff coming up Easter Sunday. So if you're really looking for some ways to kind of dig in and kind of, you know, elbow yourself some space in there and some breathing room, that's what's coming up, okay, down the road. And we're going to give you plenty of Bible study materials that will help follow that up. But, I mean, become a good student with God's Word. Learn it. Get familiar with it. Memorize it. I realize in this room that there are some folks that, you know, don't spend time trying to memorize God's Word. And that's a tough place to be, because, again, how do you know it? You think it's in the Bible, but you're not sure. I mean, Romans 1:1 is not when in Rome do as Romans do. That's not what it is. But when it comes to it, we know John 3:16, but we don't know anything else. Yeah. Go back and find Jesus wept. Start there. Start with a two-word one and go to three. You know, work your way up to Psalm 118, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, by the way. So if you can memorize Psalm 118, you're doing good. That's awesome. Good for you. But anyway, that's Bible study. And you know, there's more we can say, but we're about done. There's a variety of different plans. Is there some better than others? Sure. What's the best plan? The one that gets you to grow. My best plan, your best plan, it could be radically different. You find the plan that helps you grow, and you go with that one. We talked about generosity a little bit. I'm going to skip right past that again. If you're really interested in digging in, and you want to be overwhelmed by the blessings of God, we are getting ready next rotation of Sunrise to teach a course on that. And so that will be available to you. Matt Armstrong is going to be teaching that. And so that will start up next month. Prayer. You ought to pray. Prayer changes things, yes. Mostly prayer changes you. As we've been talking about that on Sunday morning, hopefully that's emerged for you. There are a number of ways to pray. There are some things that you can do that will help your prayer life. If you want those things, those part of the additional resources we'll send to you. And we talked a little bit about mentoring and discipleship. And so we are done. The clock says we're finished. So we were finished. That ticket thing I gave you this time, that Transformation Station ticket, if you want any of those things that are on there, just check the box and drop it in the offering box, and then we will make sure that you get that over this next week. But no matter what, grow. Add depth to your life and grow. Let's pray together. God, we are thankful that you have invited us to take a journey that changes us and makes us more like you. Help us to never, ever lose sight of how valuable and important that is. And help us to never settle for less than that Zoe existence that you created us for. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.